while we're getting ready because they're turning on everything. Special thanks to Rachel Jarbo. Rachel did a fantastic job with Warm. And everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And I want to tell you that Rachel meets these challenges head on. And everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And there was emergencies and everything. But she stood up and she took it and she worked it out. She has done a fantastic job with Warm. And I'm so grateful to her. I want to give a real quick testimony about Anita Jamerson. That morning, one of the mornings, I think it was Wednesday morning, River Song did Warm. And I took two teachers with me, and we came and did breakfast for Warm. And there's Anita with the baby. And the baby had been there for part of the night, or part of, I guess they got there around 2 or 3 in the morning and had been there. And this is the miracle. One of the ladies that was there, one of the homeless ladies, came up to Anita and said, she told her, I no longer have my children. She told her the age of her children, and she just wanted to hold and touch the baby. And I told Anita, I said, you're my hero, because even your baby ministers, praise God. After the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord said to Moses' helper, Joshua, the son of Nun, my servant Moses is dead. So you and all of these people get up and cross the Jordan to the land I am giving to the people of Israel. In essence, he said to him, it's your turn. It's your turn. Moses is dead. He's been there. But now it's your turn, Joshua. I give you every place where the bottom of your foot steps, as I promised Moses. And this is where my revelation took place. He said, as I promised Moses, and I began to look up the relationship with Moses and Joshua. And in one book, it says that Moses was a spiritual father, a mentor, a teacher, and he carried Joshua every place with him, even more so than his sons. It says, the next verse, your land will be from the desert and from Lebanon as far as the big Euphrates. It will be all the land of the Hittites to the great sea and the west. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will be with you as I have been with Moses. So the promise that was going on with Joshua was coming from the anointing over his spiritual father. And the Lord began to open my eyes and he said, Robin, this revelation goes like this. As I have anointed Pastor Lanny, I have anointed those, that part of that anointing and that overflow has fallen on you. And so I need you to realize that when you take on a spiritual father, the anointing of the spiritual father falls upon you. And whatever it is that God has promised him, he will bring it to you too. So all of a sudden, here is Joshua. And Joshua has to carry on everything, but in every bit of this scripture, what he keeps saying to him is, Joshua, because I promised it to Moses and I've given it to Moses, now I'm giving it to you. And I got so excited I couldn't sit down. I was running. I was skipping. I said, I got to talk to Pastor. I got to find out what God's promised him. Because that's on me. And I told him, I said, I'm not playing. We have to have a meeting. I'm excited. I want to know. Because whatever is on the father has come down to the children. And not just his blood children, his spiritual children. And so it goes on to say, let me go back to this again. Sorry. No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will be with you as I have been with Moses, and I will be faithful to you and will not leave you alone. Exodus 12, verse 40 and 41 says this: the time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was about 430 years. And at the end of the 430 years, on that very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. I put that there because of the fact that we need to know the time span of promises. Oftentimes we're like, God, you have forgotten what you said you would do for us. You have forgotten how long you told me you were going to do something. But just think about this. Moses was the promise, and he had to be born. He was the promise that he was going to do these wonderful things and get the people out of Egypt, but he had to be born. And then he goes through, and he lives, and the Bible talks about 80 years old. Here comes Moses. Now, by that time, I'm sure there are people that are weary and well-doing, and some that have fainted, and others that have said God is not going to keep his promise. But God's word does not change. He always keeps his promise. If we recognize how wonderful God is, he will always keep his promise. He will not promise you anything without bringing it to pass. Then it goes on and it says the Israelites asked God for help. He allowed Moses to be born. To spare Moses' life at 3 months, he had to put him in a basket, send him down the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter received him. Now just think about this, because sometimes we miss the little points. Pharaoh's daughter sees him in the basket floating along and raises him up as a prince. Just about the time they thought they were getting rid of all the Israelites, there is one being raised right under their noses. I always think about the fact that the enemy said, "You won't be here." They told my mother, they said, "She won't even live. With all the stuff that's going on in her body, she won't even live to be 12. So if she doesn't live to be 12, no need to worry about trying to get so many different things done." I just turned 60. And I'm the happiest 60 person you ever seen. I got all these crazy calls from people that don't live like me. And they were all saying, "Are you depressed?" I said, "Girl, I wasn't even supposed to be here. I'm just working this thing out." I said, "I wasn't supposed to be here, and I'm still here." And so there was that part of me that was dancing around saying, "Devil, you take this, because I'm still here." That's the promises of God. And so look at what he had to do to get Moses through. And then they thought they were killing the Israelites. They were even drowning the babies. And he makes it. Verse 5, I need you to remember, really remember this. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Not a Pharaoh, not a Red Sea, nor an army. I will be with you just as I have been with Moses. He repeats it again. I will be faithful to you and will not leave you alone. Over and over and over and over. He keeps repeating this so that you don't forget. What is it that God told you he was going to change? What is it that God said he was going to do? Keisha got the prophecy that she was going to write a book, and she's written a book. What is your promise? We're sometimes saying, "But God has forgotten me. Look at my age. Look at this. Look at that." Stop looking and start praising. Start praising. Because God, he doesn't have a memory problem. You do. But he will remember everything he's promised you. I was standing and I was looking, and, you know, I got a teenager, older teenager, and he's doing well, but there are times he tries to do crazy things, and I keep looking. I close my eyes and open them again. And I look at him and I say, God, help me to see what you promised me. There are times I've called pastor and say, I can't see. Basically, that's the way I'm at. I can't see it right now. I'm ready to kill him. But I know, see, you all don't ever feel like that. After I come down from here, you guys are probably saying, you know, she is really violent. But I have to tell you something. Sometimes I feel like killing him. And I say, God, help me to stay the course. But when I close my eyes at night and I am really, really, really seeking the face of the Lord and I am saying, God, speak to me. You know what the Lord shows me? He shows me that wonderful young man serving him. I see his hands up in the sanctuary. And I see him glorifying the Lord because that's God's promise to Robin. That's God's promise to Robin. The Lord told me all the days of William's life, he's going to serve you. He told me, he said, he's going to serve me, Robin. So I don't know why you get so distraught, because he's going to serve me. And you know what he said one day? He was doing all kinds of crazy things, and I'm at volume 900 talking to him. I know you never talk at 900 because you only have volume 1. I have 900. And so at 900, I was talking to him. And you know what? He turned to me as I'm walking out the door because, you know, I'm basically in tears. And he says, you know what, Mom? And I said, what? He said, I love you. He says, Mom, you're not going to be disappointed. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do it, Mom. He says, you're not going to be disappointed. He said, even if you're gone, you're going to know that I am a man of God. He says, Mom, I know what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to serve the Lord. On that day, when I walked out, I went in the bedroom. I fell on my face and I said, God, I thank you. Because sometimes it's hard, you know. I got to tell you guys something. Wanda knows her, and I've been praying. Someone give Wanda a hug back there. We've been praying, and I have to tell you something. I told her, I said, Wanda, when there's couples, there's two of you in the fight and in the struggle, and you feel like you both understand the path that your children are taking, and you're both holding on to each other, and you're both praying. But when there's one of you, when there's just one, sometimes those dark days seem really dark. And it seems like you have to keep going back saying, God, show me. There are times I'm standing in places with my son, and I say, okay, God, show it to me right now. Right now, show me. Okay, I got it. Now I'm going to go in. Because I remember Joshua took on what God promised Moses. And then after taking on what God promised Moses, he said, be strong and courageous. This is for us. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Have strength of heart. That's what that interpretation said, but I wanted to do the strong and courageous. For you will bring the people in to take this land which I promised to their fathers to give. What is it again that God has promised you? What have you been standing on that now you've gotten feeble with? God will not break his promise to us. Let me tell you something. Sometimes I've heard people say all my life that after you walk away and you do this, you might miss some of his promises. Well, I have to tell you something. I have seen people walk away, and I have seen people come back, and God still fulfills his promise. It's years later, but he fulfills his promise. And I want to tell you, God has not promised you something that he cannot bring to pass. So you wait on him. Only be strong and courageous. Verse 7. Have much strength of heart. Be careful to obey all the law which my servant Moses told you to do. Do not turn from it. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Then all will go well with you everywhere you go. this book of the law will not leave your mouth. Think about it, day and night. So you may be careful to do all that is written in it. Then all will go well with you. You will receive many good things. He's talking to Joshua. He said, don't veer from the word of God. Don't veer from the word of God. I want to tell you something. We veer when we say God can't do it. We veer when we seek other things other than what God has already promised us. Don't veer. Some of you here, you're veering and you're saying, God, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go do this. And I'm going to handle it this way because right now in my life, it's not working. And I'm going to try something else. So you're getting ready to get in trouble. Don't try anything else. Don't try it your way. Don't solve it yourself. Stick with the word of God. And all of a sudden, he says, verse 9, have I not told you, be strong and courageous or have strength of heart. Do not be afraid or lose faith, for the Lord your God is with you anywhere you go. I want you all to write just down this one point. In Psalms 139, David asks a question. You read that on your own. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. He asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can you go? What place can you go to that God is not there? You can go anywhere and God will be there. I have preached at Attica Prison and God was there. I preached at Muncie Prison and God was there. He met us there. I preached at Rockets Island while my family was there and God was there. He's met us there. I've gone in the drug cove with my brother and God was there. Where can we go that God will not be? So in every dark moment, that whole thing with the spiritual father, there was a dark moment. God met me there. He took me there so that I could be healed. And he allowed the healing to come to pass. And now my whole life has changed. I want to really, really, really have you think about this. What does God care about? What does God care about? He cares about your seed. Because that's what he told Abraham. He cares about your seed. So he cares about your children. And he cares more than you are capable of caring. He reminds me of that all the time. He cares about your seed. He cares about where you live. Because over and over again, he said to the prophets, I'm going to place you in this land. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a place to dwell. So he cares about where you live. He cares about your physical body. Because even at the cross, he said, by his stripes, you are healed. He cares about your provision and your finances. Because he said in Philippians 4:19, God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He is concerned about your spiritual growth and knowledge, for you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He cares about that. So what part of life does he not care about? Just put all of those things together. He cares about you. One of the girls in Riversong going through a tough time for the last couple of weeks, and as I was talking to her, this God had spoken this to me and just showed me this about what he cares about, and I read it to her. I said, this is what he cares about. And she looked at me. She said, so he cares about me. I said, wholeheartedly. everything you go through, he cares about it. There are no secrets to God. Everything we go through, he cares about. Why would someone care about me having a revelation about a spiritual father and knowing that to earthly people, it doesn't matter? Why would it be so important? Because God wanted to take me to the next level. And I can't go to the next level if I don't understand the blessings and the promises that are coming down upon my life. So God, he loves us more than we are capable of loving, and he's concerned. God's purpose for keeping his word. I want to give you some purposes for keeping his word. To show us that he cannot lie and he will not lie. God's not going to lie to you. And he cannot lie and he will not lie. He's infallible and his words are infallible. All truth, total truth. To show us that delay does not mean denial. So it's taken some time. I was a kid that went to church without their family and got in church. And remember one service when the pastor said, everybody that is here, I want to talk to you about family. And he talked about family, and there was all these families in the church the way it is here. And that night, he came to me and he prayed for me, and God gave him a word and he said, your entire family shall be saved. Man, I left church that night so excited I didn't know what to do. I got home and saw my entire family. And I said, okay, God, you really got some work to do. And I started praying. And I started watching God one by one by one by one, knocking them off. And they were just falling in the presence of God. I have to tell you something else. My dad lived long enough to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and pastor a church, not a church like this one, an inner city church where people were coming in that were on drugs and alcohol. And he gave it his all. And there, at his funeral, there were people lined up to tell us all the things that he meant to them and all the places he met them to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every promise, every word, God's word doesn't change. He brought it to pass. And I saw it one by one. The next thing is to show us that everything, I'm sorry, to make sure that we check our journals and prayer lists to see what he has done. I said this before. I was in a church that kept making prayer lists. And the prayer list was so long. And I was only about 14. I have to tell you what came to my mind. Does anybody check it? When's the last time they checked this thing? Because it was so long, it seemed like God was absent. Anyway, one Sunday in the back of the church while the music was going on, there was a lady about to jump the pews. See, I come from that background where they jump the pews. And she was about to jump the pews. She was healed. And she was telling everybody as she came in. I said, well, gosh, her name's been on the prayer list forever. And here she is walking around healed. So, you know, kids don't have much sense. So I went to the pastor. I said, somebody need to check the prayer list. I said, because I do think some of these people are healed. I have to tell you, he didn't get me. He didn't yell at me or anything. But he said, okay, we'll do that. I said, because she was healed and she's in the back of the church tearing the church up, running back and forth and stuff. So somebody else was healed. When the list came out the next Sunday, it was in half. People had been healed. You need to take your prayer journals out. And you need to see what God has already done. I was talking to someone, and they were on, and I was talking to them, and I said, God has already done that. They called last week for prayer, and they said, will you pray for me? I said, and they gave me a list of stuff, and I said, well, God's already done this one. And she said, when? I said, get your journal out. And let's go through this journal and let's see what God has already done. When she was done, she said, oh my God, I didn't even recognize it. Sometimes we don't even recognize that God has met us at our need because we write those things down and throw them in a book and put it in the corner. He gave us this promise. He performs his promise so that you can look in your prayer journal and see what he's brought to pass. He also does it to give you a point of reference, a starting point, a place to start that is unshakable. In the last year, God has spoken to me about a starting point, a place of reference. He said, Robin, I use things in people's lives as a point of reference so whenever something else happens, they can go back and say, he did it once, he could do it again. So you need to go back and look at that, and then you need to use what he's given you as a point of reference. Also, the reason why he keeps his promises and the reason why it's so important is to him is so we can encourage others and stand with them. Anybody had to stand with somebody recently? How can you stand with somebody if you can't believe yourself? A woman called me, a friend of mine, and her child care center. She opened it. Everything was going well. And then the people that she rented the building from did not pay the taxes. And she called me week before last, and she was crying, and she says, Robert, I'm going to lose everything. And she said, the doors are locked, and all my stuff is in it. And I said to her, no, we're not going to believe for that. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, didn't God tell you to open the daycare? She said, yes. I said, didn't God fill the daycare? She said, yes. It's in one of the areas that's the poorer area. And God opened that daycare so that those children could have life. And I said, so let's pray. We prayed. I said, go back to the people and ask them, can you at least get your stuff out? But before you ask them that, ask them how much money they need to pay those back taxes. So she went in, she called them and talked to them, and they told her how much is needed, and she said, Robin, it's a lot of money. It's $2,700. I said, I know a man that has a cattle on 1,000 hills. And he said they belong to him, so they belong to us. I said, let's pray. And the other day she got a call, which was Friday. She got a call and said, you can open the center back up. The back taxes have been paid. Now, this young lady came to work here. I called in the favor from God saying, Lord, when Riversong needed a teacher and Riversong was suffering, I called her and I said, hey, sis, I need you to come to Riversong to help me. She said, I'm on my way. She left the center she was raising up to come and work at Riversong. She worked here 3 weeks because I needed the help. And God raised her center back up. I said, in praying, I said, God, you said that whatever she does, she did it for me, Lord. She did it because she loved me. Now I'm your child and I'm calling this in, God. I'm asking you to keep her center alive, and I'm asking you to open up the doors, and I'm asking you to give her the money. Just whatever you have to do, fix it so she can walk back in that center. Don't let her lose a thing. She walked back in her center. The doors are open. And I believe, honestly and truly, you don't have to believe it, but I believe God opened up the doors because she came willingly to serve me. Riversong was in dire need, and she said, I'm on my way, Robin. And she came, and she worked those 3 weeks and walked away from her place that she was raising up to give to me. And God gave it back to her. And he gave it back to her 100-fold. So we will encourage others. And then the last thing is he wants us to understand something about his promises. So we will not leave our position of faith. We need to wait on him. There's a song that has a lot of music to it. So for some of you, you will be widely awakened. But I want, they don't have it. You didn't do it. Okay. So you won't hear it today, but the song is by Fred Hammond and John P. Key, and this is what it says. It tells us to wait on him. Tells us to wait on him. And I want to tell you something. If we can't learn to wait on the Lord, if we don't learn to allow the Lord to bring it to pass, whatever you're going through today, and if you've been through that church hurt where you have not let go and accepted a spiritual father, and you've been sitting in this church saying, I don't need a spiritual father. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you're in that position, you need to let it go. And you need to let the healing come in so that you can walk under a ministry where you receive the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you don't receive one portion of it, all of a sudden you're hampered because when the words come out, you're rebuttaling. You're fighting against it because you're saying, I'll take this, but I won't take that. God doesn't want that. He wants to heal you totally. If you're here and you're saying, but you don't know how long it's been and how long he promised, I want to tell you that he has not promised you anything that he will not bring to pass. He will bring it to pass. He really will. Stand to your feet. I want to specifically have people that have gone through abuse in churches to come forward. Every head bowed and every eye closed. But if you're here and you've gone through some abuses in churches, I want you to come forward because I want to tell you something. I know that you cannot go as far as you would be able to go. And I'm going to ask people to come down that pray, that's at the altars, to come so that these people can be set free. Because there's no hurt like church hurt. There really isn't. Because it hinders everything you really believe. Everyone that's coming to the altar to pray with me, please come and be present, Pastor.
It was my intention that we make that very appeal, okay? I learned something in a cornfield years ago that I didn't understand at the moment. But I was sitting in a goose blind with one of my mentors, our guide, and his assistant. And in the course of sitting there that day, the young man, the assistant, learned that we were both pastors. So Mahesh and I listened to his story, and it was a story of abuse as a youngster in a church setting. And the Holy Spirit required of me to kneel before this young man and ask him to forgive me for what that pastor had done to him. Now, at that time, I did not understand identificational repentance, but it's the very thing you read in Daniel where he assumes responsibility for the sins of his people when he himself was an upright man. On more than one occasion since that revelation, I've had opportunities like this moment presents. I'm presenting myself to you as a visualization of those who have harmed you. And I'm asking you, be liberated from it and allow me to ask you to forgive us for what has been done. Call upon the Holy Spirit for grace to administer forgiveness so that you can be set free. Father, I present myself as the token of wrongdoers who, by whatever motive, personal pain, spiritual orphan spirit, they have misrepresented you. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to extend grace for forgiveness to transpire in this moment. I repent, Lord, of whatever this wickedness was, and ask you to set us free by the blood of Christ, and that we be no longer broken in our soul, poisoned in our spirit, corrupted in our thinking. But we can leave here today liberated from the past to walk with peace and grace into the future you always had in mind for us. Let your healing be part of the redemptive testimony of authority on the lips of each one of these who can let go today.
Let's just begin to pray.
In this different way while ministry is going on here. If there's anyone else who has prayer need, you're welcome to come forward. Otherwise, you're released into your day. Have a blessed day.
And those of you who want to do Angel Tree, see me or Steve Hagen for presents for the Angel Tree kids. Be blessed.